Hey, we are on the bottom of page 370,
369-370. Mm-hmm.
We are talking about tshuva katad, the whole chapter, talking about the lower level of tshuva. And he gave the derech emes v'hayasher, the number one and number two way of doing tshuva. Number one way of tshuva is to arouse compassion on your neshama, that your neshama comes from a high place and gets stuck into a big mud pie.
Right.
And then, because the person has this rachmanis around, so then he'll feel that he wants to get closer to Hashem and he'll do tshuva. The second way, which is derech hayasher, which is even higher, is to become a master of cheshbonos.
Yes.
And to go through all the deeds that he ever did in the course of his life and to feel bitter about it, and that through that bitterness he will break his heart, and thus by breaking the stronghold of the forces of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's where we're up to at this point. So we're at the bottom. This is what our sages of blessed memory said, that the wicked during their lifetime are called dead. That means to say that their life force comes from a place of death and impurity. Okay? Like, for example, what do you call a person from Albania? Albanian.
Right.
Okay, it wasn't a difficult question.
Okay, I was looking for the odd stuff. Yeah.
No, Albanian. Okay.
Albanian, yes.
And what would you call a person from Mars? You would call them a Martian.
Martian, right, yes.
So what do you call from a person who comes from death? Dead.
Fair enough.
Okay, so this person's life force is coming through the Makar Hatuma V'Hamavis. He's coming from where death comes from. In other words, the source of death is from a certain place, figuratively speaking. Hmm. And this person now, that they have allowed themselves to fall prey to the forces of evil, are deriving their life force from exactly the same place as death is coming from. So therefore, they are equal to death. So if you're equal to death, then you're dead.
Yes.
Okay? So that's one of the things. Nobody wants to be dead. Okay? But that's what it says, Rashayim b'chayehem karimesim. Even when they're dead, and even when they're alive, they're still called dead. Because whatever a person derives, from wherever the person derives their nurture, that becomes now their life force. He talked about it way back in chapter 25 of Tanya.
Is this the true definition of a zombie? Sorry.
No.
Okay, good. I digress.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, so he says back in chapter 25 that when a person falls prey to their taivas, they are therefore deriving their nurture and their life force from the taivas.
Yeah.
Okay, as I used to say, and this is quoted as son, still on tape back in the chapter 25 on the web, that when we were Yeshiva Bachur, we would say to people right now who are smoking, right now you're deriving your nurture, your very vitality from the back end of a burning weed.
Indeed, yes.
Okay? Because their life was coming from that.
Yes.
Okay? So this person, their life is coming from death, and therefore they're called dead. Okay? Now, so then, what are we talking about? We're talking about a Russia. We're not necessarily, when he uses the word Russian, later on he's going to qualify it even more. It says, okay, for sure, if you have a rush of Viralo, as described in chapter 11. In Tanya, so at the end of the chapter, you have the, it says a rush of Viralo is a person who does something wrong and doesn't feel any remorse about it. They don't feel like they did anything wrong.
Right.
That's a Rosh Hagam, a total Rosh Hashanah person. So that person we know, since he has no feeling of remorse and he's disconnected himself from Kedusha. So then that person is for sure deriving their nurture from the forces of evil. But even the person that he refers to at the top of the page, which is determined to be a Rosh Vitovlo, that every once in a while thinks something wrong. Not that he's thinking to do it wrong. He's just kind of dreaming about thinking about doing it wrong. So Bashas Maisa, that he's doing it, he's called a Rasha. And if that be the case, then what is determining him to be a Rasha is that he has not he's no longer connected to the forces of Kedusha. He is connected to the forces of Tuma and Mavis. Right. So even such a person that, as Shalom Ber Gordon Alav Shalom said, that the Rasha V'Tovla that it talks about in Tanya, you could give him a pidyon nefesh and ask him for a bracha. Because this is a person who, once in a while, he thinks something wrong. Okay? But that person, when they're doing this, when they're at that once in a while, so they're deriving their life force from the place of Tuma and Sitrafa, from Mavis. They're dead.
Yeah.
Okay? V'kei mashakasuv, and that's what it says also, to prove the point, Lo hamesim yahaluka v'lokal yardei duma. Right, the dead can't praise you. We're not making fun of anybody over here. That's not what the verse is about. The verse is not talking about you're dead. You can't praise God. No, that's not what it's talking about. That what we're talking about over here, when it says that the dead cannot praise Hashem, it's talking about Rishoyim.
Yeah.
So you have this guy who's a Rasha, and he's yet to do tshuva. And so he's standing in shul, and he's saying halal. Or he's saying the halalukas and davening every morning.
Right.
Okay? Am I going to say it's garnish vert? No, I'm not going to say it's worth nothing. But it's definitely would fit into the category of tevel sheretz biyadi, the person who goes to the mikveh, and he's got a bug in his hand. Which is the whole reason why he's going to the mikveh, is because he touched this bug. But he goes into the mikveh and he still has the bug in his hand.
Still holding the bug.
And as soon as he gets out, what happens? He's tummy. He's got to let go of the bug.
Right.
Okay, so this person, he's standing and davening in shul, saying how great and wonderful Hashem is.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, he hasn't let go of his bug. So we say that person is, that fits in the category, Lo HaMesim Yahalalu. Okay, and I'm not going to say, I don't want to say, I mean, in the Musar books they would say it, but since I'm not a Musarnik, it would say that the tefillahs of a wicked person are spurned. Are
not accepted.
Not that they're not accepted. They're just like God goes, ew. You know, so that's what it says in the Musar books. Okay? I'm not going to go there because we're not learning Musa, we're learning Hasidus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the whole reason why they would say this is in order to get the person to say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do things right. I'm going to drop that bug. That's the whole purpose of telling us this. That what is he defining here as a Rasha? A person who is confused by his foreign thoughts when he's still in his wickedness, and he does not, and because of that, he does not desire to do tshuva. Okay, so anybody, for whatever reason it happens to be, as he's going to say right now, it doesn't even have to be heinous crimes. In fact, it would probably be easier for a person to do tshuva for a heinous crime, because they realize the severity of it.
Right.
Okay. Oops, I did really something really awful.
Right.
And I want to get into Hashem's good graces. But like this, you know, you have like the Rashi calls him, he calls down the bottom over here, the averas that people trod on with their heels.
Yeah.
Because they don't even think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, what does it take for a person to feel that there's nothing wrong with doing a sin?
It's repeated
three times. Exactly. By the third time that he's done it, it's well on the way. It's for sure by that point nothing wrong. And by the fourth time, for sure, it became a mitzvah for him to do it. I had to do it.
Ow!
I have to do it. I mean, you know, it's just like I can't get around it. You know, this is like, you know, so
yeah.
I need to do this. This is like, you know, and then at that point, since it is that the person talking needs to do it, because since we have this expression, avera gareris avera, that once a person does an avera, it causes him to do another avera.
Yeah.
So like with everything else, so a person doesn't want to make that break because it's very convenient. The forces of evil are feeding him. And it seems like the best and easiest way to survive and to succeed is to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You don't... You wouldn't say, if someone would say, hey, listen, you know you're doing something wrong, and if you continue doing something wrong, you're going to get, it's only going to get worse, and the person would say, well, I don't want to do it then. But the person isn't feeling that. The person is feeling that this is the way they're getting their life force.
Right.
Okay, not that they're making that statement, because they're not.
No,
it's all something totally and completely, their body is more in tune to it than their mind is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Like people who are forever angry. So that anger is producing a very highly addictive hormone, which is released into their brain, and that makes them feel better. And so, therefore, when they don't have that, they don't feel better. They feel lousy because then they start going through withdrawals like any other addiction. And so what do they have to do is they have to get angry some more to produce more of that hormone.
Ouch.
Okay, so it becomes a really hard cycle to break at that
point. Sure it does, yeah.
Okay, I don't know if there's a group called Angry Persons Anonymous. Yeah, but they can basically, if a person would stop for a half a second and realize that it's exactly the same program as with every other blank anonymous group,
right, exactly.
You know, so recognize that a person has a problem and letting go of the problem and submitting themselves to a higher power,
et cetera, right.
Okay. Even if we're talking about a person who didn't do such a horrible crime that he would die by the time he's 50. Or nor if his type of a sin is called death by heaven, where he would die by 60. So an example for that would be that would be, for example, masturbating. I did not see in any of the commentaries why is it that for Misa B'day Shemayim he gives an example, whereas by Karas
He doesn't
give an example. And it could be, I'm now thinking about it, it could very well be, I'm not sure, but there is definitely a comprehensive list of people who are chai of karas. Okay, Rambam brings it down and lists it with like 1, 2, 3, 4, all the different people who are listed. And I don't think he does that for Misa B'day Shemayim. So, which is going to be different than karas. Okay, that would be the only reason why I could think why he has to give an example here with this, with that of masturbating. So he's not doing any of those horrible sins.
Right.
Okay, again, I don't know if the Alter Rebbe had any specific thing intended. We know that, for example, the Mittler Rebbe wrote 10 books for specific individuals who had specific needs. And there is one book, which is called Pekeach Ivrim, based on the bracha that we say, who opens the eyes of the blind, that was written to help a person do tshuva.
Okay.
Okay, what did he do? Is he happened to have married a non-Jewish woman and had 5 kids, and decided that he wants to do tshuva. So it's a whole long story involving the Alter Rebbe and Yosef Kolboy, who was one of his top Hasidim, and the whole line. I'll have to tell it to you some other time. Now's not the time for it. But the point being there is that when the Mittler Rebbe wrote Pokeach Ivrim, when he wrote this book, like I say, it's a little bit more than a pamphlet. It's not very big. He had in mind that this guy has a problem.
Right.
Which needs addressing.
Right.
And this book is going to help address that need.
Specific problem.
Correct. Now, the Alter Rebbe has mentioned several times when it talks about doing an Aveira. So he mentions the sin of masturbating.
Right.
So it would seem that the Alter Rebbe's intention was, is what is it, the main thing I suppose the person has to do tshuva for, the avera that he has to do, was referred to in the earlier chapters as the sins of his youth.
Mm.
Okay, so that would be it. So Afal Pi came, but nonetheless, Ma'achas Shehein Poigim B'Nishmas B'Neshama V'Nefesh Elokis, that nonetheless, even as a lesser sin, it still causes some kind of a blemish in the neshama and in his nefesh elokis. K'mashal pagima o pesikas chavalim zakim kanal. Like we said back in chapter 25, that it's like cutting a strand on a very thick rope. That every time there's a strand would cut, it weakens the entire rope. You don't have to cut the rope through and through to weaken it. A rope which is combined of 612 strings is not going to be as strong as a rope which is combined of 613. So here that this person is just, I could say, what percentage is 1/613?
It's 16% of 1%.
Yeah, okay, 16% of 1%. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so that's, 16% of 1% is 0.0162, so yeah, duh. So that's not a whole lot.
All the other quarters.
Yeah, you still have all the other ones. It's probably true. The person's not going to feel it, but it is going to have that effect on him. You don't need to have a lot to do an effect. You have, for example, you have a din in Shabbos. Okay, you have, for example, something like the New York City subway system. Okay, the New York City subway stops at every station, and the doors open and the doors closed. Okay, if you were to somehow figure out an illegal way of getting onto the subway, could you ride it on Shabbos because you're not making it stop anyplace? You're getting on and you're getting off, and it's doing whatever it's doing.
It's at least not Shabbos. It's not, well, yeah, if there was a legal way to do it.
I said there's a legal way to do it.
It's not Shabbos ticket, at least.
I want to know. Is it, are you violating the Shabbos?
I can't answer you. I don't know.
How is it different from a Shabbos elevator?
We can talk about Shabbos elevators.
I'm not sure.
Shabbos elevators are different from Metzias, which is specifically the subway.
Well, you're going somewhere.
Let me ask you a question.
The question is, are you within an area with it?
No, that's not the question at all.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right, go.
You draw
how much
power.
How much energy, let's say you have a train, and the train is totally empty.
Right, okay.
Okay? Now you have a train which is totally full.
Right.
Okay? How much more energy is being used to schlep the people that when it's totally full? Let's say there are 3,000 people on a train.
Wow.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that this person, by being on that train, is adding and contributing 1/3,000th to the extra work that the motor is going to have to do.
Correct.
Therefore, he's not allowed to do it on Shabbos.
Okay.
Okay. Now you're going to say 1/3,000th is not a whole lot. That's very little. And you're true. That's right. But when 2,999 other people get on. So what are you going to have? Let's say you have 3,000 Shomer Shabbos Yidden that want to get on an empty train.
Mm.
Okay? Which is the one that's going to make the train work harder?
Every one of them.
Just
exactly.
Yes.
Yes. So you can't do it.
Right.
Okay? So
okay,
this person who is... Okay, he's good. I mean,
yeah. Okay,
I would like to meet the person who keeps 612 commandments. The 613th, it kind of like sloughs off a little bit, but 612, he's solid.
Yeah.
Okay, that's, yeah. That's, I'd say this guy's doing pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Andronistic calling.
Yep. Okay, so, but, he's not getting A+.
No.
Person does 612 is still missing something.
Yes.
And we can still apply the expression Yitush Kadmach, a mosquito comes before you.
Ouch.
Because a mosquito is doing it
100%. Right.
Whatever it is mosquitoes have to do,
mosquitoes doing it
100%. Mm. This person is doing it 0.9997%.
Right.
which is real good, but it's not 100%. Okay, he's still missing that much. And so obviously, well, again, obviously the connection or the dent in the connection is going to be much less with such a person than, say, with a chainsaw massacrist. Okay. So we recognize that there is levels in unholiness, and there are levels of, like you said, you have averus chamurais, you have very serious sins, you have lesser sins. He gave before the example, it says, like, for example, let's say a person does the same, he doesn't say the same, a person does a lot of little sins. Okay, so he's cutting a lot of little strings. Okay, he's gotten to the point where he's cut, say, half of his rope. Okay, is that a big deal? But everyone thinking that he did was just a little thing.
Of course it's a big deal.
Okay, so little bits add up to big bits. And the example which we gave before, in this analogy, is you have a window, and you put a very thin curtain over the window, so the light still comes in. Mm-hmm. Put another thin curtain over it. A less light will come in. If you put 50 of those little thin curtains over the window, it will be dark.
Yeah.
And which one was it that made it dark? Well, the combination of them all, but meaning they all did. Because it's definitely, the room is not as light with no curtain as it is with one curtain.
Right.
Okay, it has that effect already. So the accumulations of little violations is like one big one.
Right.
Okay. They just don't all fade away. I did that one yesterday, I'll do this one today. Mm. Nope, doesn't work that way. Mm. Okay, and he doesn't mention over here. Oh, he does right here. V'afilo b'kefilas chet echad pamim rabbis ma'id. And even if it's not, let's say the guy keeps on doing the same thing. Mm. Over and over and over and over and over. So you would say, well, the rope's already busted. He already broke that cord. Okay, he violated mitzvah number 613.
Mm.
So we say, what does he do? Is he's weakened his connection because he doesn't have that one last string. He's brought darkness upon himself and into the world. Okay, so what happens? He does it again before he did tshuva. The rope's already busted already. It still has a negative effect.
It sure has to.
So that doing the same sin over many times, even if it's a little sin, has the same effect on the neshama and therefore the world as doing one big sin. Okay?
Or Hashemesh.
Like, for example, the prophet exemplifies this concept by clouds darkening the light of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You could have thin, wispy clouds, but if you have a lot of thin, wispy clouds, mm-hmm. When it comes down to it, all clouds are really nothing. There's nothing there.
Right. Find them.
Yeah, you know. And I'm sure you've all been on mountaintops where the clouds are like hanging low. You could see, like, you know, as you're looking down from the mountain, you look up, you see, oh, there's a cloud on that mountain. Then you go up there and you're like, you're in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And what? There's nothing there.
Right.
100,000 volts along
with it. Yeah. Wait when the thing starts to get electrified. Yeah, but so therefore, but if the clouds get thicker and thicker and thicker, meaning more and more and more, these little thin clouds, it's going to be dark outside.
Mm.
And as it says, I will wipe out the wound of your negligence. That those are the serious sins that separate between the inner word, the innermost expression of Hashem's influence to His godly soul. That basically, Hashem wants to give. And we can apply the expression that more than the calf wants to nurse, the cow wants to give it.
Wants calf to nurse.
Yes. So Hashem wants to give us more than we want to get. But we keep on getting in the way. Because all really you got to do is just get out of the way and allow the Hashpa to come down. Mm. Okay, so if a person would stop blocking the channels, so then it would be much easier. It's like we talk about Trias Amesim.
Yeah.
Okay, what's Trias Amesim? So you think that there's going to be a whole ta-ta-da-da! You know, we have this horn blowing. Right. We have all this tremendous ceremony and pomp and all this, you know, all the things that are talked about. What does Hashem have to do to revive the dead?
Wish it.
Nah, even less. He has to stop making death.
Yeah, I was going to just say, just turn off death, you're done.
That's all he has to do. Status quo is...
life.
Life. That's death right. is a result of the forces of evil being introduced to this world.
Yeah.
Once the forces of evil are removed from the world,
right.
there's therefore no such thing as no such concept as death anymore. Mm-hmm. So anybody who died comes back, automatic.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to, like... enliven them.
Mm.
Okay, he has to undie them.
It's not like baking a cake.
No. He has to undeath them.
Right.
Basically.
Hmm.
And they won't be zombies, no.
We're good. No, that's what we are.
Like, for example, oh, he said, okay, so like a cloud of your sins, that those are the small sins that a person tramples on them with his heels. That they cause, this is just a little thing, and the standard example I give of what's a little sin is talking in shul during davening.
Yes, that's a little sin.
In the meantime, he says later on in chapter 24 of Vegeras the Kodesh, that a person who talks in shul pushes away kol kaimer, the Shekhinah. He pushes away the entire Shekhinah out of this world.
Ouch.
By talking by davening.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's a little thing. We don't even know it's a big deal. I talked to you before davening. Talked to you after davening. So I talk to you during davening. What's the difference? Oh, okay. Pushing away the full stature of the Shekhinah from this world. Okay? Yeah. By talking during davening. Like it says, it's one of the things. There's not a shul in the entire world that doesn't have a sign that says somewhere it is forbidden to speak during the time of davening and reading of the Torah.
Right.
It's a standard sign. There's probably some like Jewish company that Zion Talis company or maybe Art Scroll does it or some one of these Empire Press, one of these publishing houses makes up these signs and they just sell them because every shul's got them and in no shul does it help.
Yeah.
So
it's just. It's just a testimony to... Well, anyway.
It's the way it's supposed to be.
Oy, oy, oy.
Okay. The Israel... on a culture. In a kemai benoshel zeh, imesim adam neged or hashemesh b'chalayim. So he says, like another example of this would be if a person is standing by a window, and he puts on machitzas kalos akalushas l'rayv ma'ayit. He puts on a lot of very thin curtains. Hey, my fellas, can my mechitza achas avo yosu? So they will darken the room like one thick curtain or even more.
Mm.
Even though each one is just a very thin layer of and of itself and doesn't really noticeably obscure the light of the sun. But a little bit adds up to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It works the other way, by the way, too. Okay? You have what's the minimum amount that a person is allowed to is supposed to can what the minimum amount of learning during the day? What's the minimum amount?
I don't know if there's a minimum.
There is a minimum amount. Perek Echad, Shachris Perek Echad Arvi. So chapter in the morning, a chapter
in the
night.
Evening. Oh, right.
Okay. So now, so then the person can go on his way. So how long does it take to learn this chapter? Let's say it takes 5 minutes. Okay, so this person spent 5 minutes learning. Is that enough to say he fulfilled his minimum daily requirement of learning? It says so, so it must be. The question, the answer to the question is, well, how?
Yeah.
How is it that learning for 5 minutes in the morning sets the guy for the whole day? You have an expression in
That's
Hebrew.
Quality.
You have an expression in Hebrew that I'm sure it's popular around the world also, in other ways of saying it. It says, tefasta miksasa, tefasta kula. If you grab a little bit of Hashem, you grab the whole Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning to say, how, you know, because Hashem is bleakful. And there's, you know, there's only one thing that can hold something which is infinite.
Infinity.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing can hold infinity.
True.
Yeah, no thing can hold infinity.
True.
Okay, but, so we say that if you take a piece of infinity, what do you have?
Infinity.
You have infinity. So the Torah that we have is an expression of Hashem's infiniteness. His infinite wisdom, his infinite will. And a person, when they learn it, they're connecting with the infiniteness of Hashem, his infinite will and wisdom. So if a person can only learn 5 minutes in the morning, so what does it mean that they didn't for 5 minutes? They connected it with Hashem's infiniteness. How much of Hashem's infiniteness?
All of it.
You take a little bit of infinity, you have a whole entire infinity.
Right.
So therefore, since it is this is v'ratzoin v'chachmasi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the will and wisdom of Hashem. So he's then, this person who learns that little bit, he's in the groove for that much. Okay, and about the idea of learning Perech Echad Shachris, Perech Echad Arvis, a chapter in the morning, a chapter at night. So it says, the Rebbe used to say, that at that time that the person is learning, it should be like their Shabbos for those couple of minutes. So just like you have a Shabbos for the week, you also need to have a Shabbos for the day. We know that there's a Shabbos for the weeks, a Shabbos for the months, a Shabbos for the years, a Shabbos for the sabbatical years. But it doesn't mention anything in Torah about a Shabbos for the day.
Should be though.
Every single day, because what are we doing on Shabbos? Shabbos is the same letters as the word Tashav, meaning to return, to get back, to rejuvenate, to get closer, to be able to face the next 6 days, or 5 days as the case may be, 6 days as the case may be. So here it is, now it's the middle of the day, whenever it happens to be, and a person is, they're bottoming out, and it's not because of lunch. And 5-hour energy drink is not going to do it at this point.
Right, right.
Because what this person needs is that he needs something spiritual at this point. So it's as if the person had the 5 minutes in the morning. So what did they do? They gathered within them because it's talking about learning, so learning they had to understand it and incorporate it within them. And it becomes now, chemically, physiologically speaking, part of them. And what is it that's becoming chemically and physiologically part of them is Hashem.
Right.
The infiniteness of Hashem. 5 minutes worth of the infiniteness of Hashem. And so that person now, for those 5 minutes, that's his Shabbos. Because what's he going to do now? He's going to take those 5 minutes and it'll give him something to be able to get him through till the next time he has to do the 5 minutes. Okay, so that then becomes, if a person should do it, that it doesn't matter what else is going on in the world. You know, if the phone is ringing on Shabbos by the Cholent, you're not going to pick it up. Okay, it's totally, completely removed from your mind.
Right.
That you're not going to pick it up. Okay, so that this person also then, when he's doing this 5 minutes in the morning, the Perek Echad Shachris, so, something's happening. It can wait a couple minutes. I'm in Shabbos. I mean, what am I supposed to be doing? Right. And Adarabi, he says that there's stuff like that. That is how to do tshuva, according to the Chassidus. Okay, rolling in the snow just doesn't cut it. I had wanted to finish the chapter today. Let's see how far we get. So just as it is with this example of the thick clouds, he may seem adam neged or hashemish, if a person puts himself opposite the sun, bechalayna mechitzas kalos and kaloshes l'loreiv ma'ay. We did this already. Hein ma'afelos kemay mechitzachas of avayaser. Then it's he's going to put out little curtains, and it's all going to go up to one big curtain. Kacha mamishu benimshul. So too it is also that which we're trying to exemplify. Bechol avayna she'adam dash ba'akvav. Like with all of the sins that a person tramples on with his feet. Right. And for sure, if you have those quote unquote little sins that the Rabbanin said somewhere in the Gemara, or a Medrash, or a Zohar, it says that these sins, these little sins, weigh equal to idolatry, adultery, and murder. Like, for example, a person turns his eyes away from giving tzedakah. As it says that you should guard yourself lest there be in your heart something of little worth. And what's bli'al? What's what mean little or little worth? Who of the avodah zarah? That's idol worship. It says a person who talks lashon hara about his friend, it's like he killed the person, it's like he raped the person, it's like he murdered the person, it's like he's worshiping an idol. Okay, because we know that there are books written about the evils and the ramifications of talking lashon hara.
Right.
Okay, the whole Chafetz Chaim foundation is based on this principle.
Yes.
Their whole Judaism, you gotta love them. Their whole Judaism is based on not talking bad about other people.
Right.
Okay, how you feel about them, that's another story, but you're not allowed to talk bad about them. Okay, so the, So the Gemara does spend time talking about things that we consider to be trivialities, and why it is that they're, as far as Hashem is concerned, quite important. Because if you remember, Hashem to Hashem, kula kimei kolo chashivi, everything compared to Hashem is like nothing. And so something that you would consider big or important or heinous or easy, it's all the same to Hashem.
Right.
Because it's his ratzon of a kadosh baruch hu, it's his will. Okay? And it doesn't make sense to say, well, it's just a... It's a little bit wrong. Okay, comparably speaking, compared to something which is really wrong,
yeah,
and really really heinous. Okay, so this is, we did say before that there are different levels of evil. So okay, right. Good. So, chainsaw massacrist, person who talks in shul.
Yeah, from a spiritual sense, though.
The person who talks in shul, it could very well be that he could wind up being your mechutin. Okay, your daughter could marry his son.
Right.
Okay, so but the Alter Rebbe says that those things are like idolatry, adultery, and murder, which are the big three. And he gives this example here: a person doesn't give tzedakah. Person doesn't give tzedakah is guilty of murder.
Yes.
Quite simple. The poor person is coming and asking, I need money in order to feed myself. And the person says, I'm not giving you anything. And then the person dies because he doesn't have any food.
Right. Guilty of murder.
Okay. Did he kill the guy? No, he didn't kill the guy. He didn't keep him alive. And he says, so too is also with Lashon Hara, speaking badly about someone else. Which that weighs equal to Avodah Zorah, to idolatry, to adultery, and to murder. We know that there's a famous statement that the Baal Shem Tov said that Lashon Hara kills three. It kills the person who's talking, because now you see this person is talking bad about somebody. It kills the person who's listening, because he's formulating his opinion about another person in an unfavorable way.
Right.
And it kills the person about whom it's being spoken about, because now someone's going to have a lesser opinion of them.
Right.
Okay. So that then is you can equate that to murder. For example, he equates them to all three. The Kalakaris Ki'ilav and Avodah Zorah. And so to anybody who gets angry, that's like idolatry.
Right.
Because the bottom line where a person gets angry is because things aren't going the way they want it to go.
It's not going right.
Mm-hmm. Forgetting that there's something a little bit more important, more smart than they.
Right.
For example, also a person who has, a haughtiness or an arrogance, and there are many of these types of things which are raised in the Gemara. The Talmud Torah, can I get cool and can I resolve? Vita Kodesh Baruch Hu, etc. And since we're on the topic, by the way, so it says that the study of Torah weighs equal to all of them. And one facet, since it depends on what you're asking, but there's always some mitzvah which is as important as all the other mitzvahs combined.
Right.
Tefillin, Shabbos, learning Torah. Okay, there's a couple more over there. Tzitzis, I'm not sure the rest. Okay, so what happens now? A person, a person didn't learn. Okay? So one of the things that a person has to do, or this is the definition of Shiva that we gave, is the person feels sorry about it, that what he did till now, and he's never going to do it again.
Right.
So now he's starting back at square zero. Okay?
Yeah.
So wait a minute, now I'm going to back up again, sorry. Wait a minute. So I'm going to back up altogether. I'm going to drop that point, sorry. Who Lashon Hara Shuffle can I have voted as a regular relationship with them? I'm just going to finish up this sentence. Kolakas Yelovet of the Ramish Yershpogas is a Ruach, a Kainer Abba Gemara. Okay? So a person who is angry is forgetting who's in charge.
Right.
As he becomes the idolater.
Right.
For example.
Right.
And there are many examples of this in the Gemara. And this is where I'm going to stop. We're on the next to last line of page 372 to be continued.